Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And welcome to Parashat Vayetze. And he went. I would like to speak to you today on the subject, keep climbing. Keep climbing. Not one thing in life is a coincidence. There are those who see events as happenchance. Some things just happen. When people question why things happen in their lives, they reply, well, why not? Things happen. But the lesson of the Torah and of this parasha, Vayetze, is that God is in absolute control of this planet and of our lives as his creatures, and this is even more true concerning the faithful sons of Yaakov. We are not only his creatures, but his children. And he takes extraordinary interest in what is going on with us. Rabbi Yeshua taught us in Matityahu 10:29-31, are not two sparrows sold for a coin, and yet even one of them will never fall towards the ground without Avecha, your father, being there. Moreover, the very hairs of your head are all counted. Then do not fear. You bear more value, greater than many sparrows. Vayetze is one of the longest parashot in the Torah, and its reach in terms of consequences is also long. Today the words of Hashem to Yaakov Avenu are not only true, but they are also still being outworked in the life of our nation and in our own individual lives too, if we will think on it. Vayetzi Yaakov b'Mersheva Vayelech Haran. Vayetzi Yaakov m'Bersheva Vayelech Haran, or Harana. The opening words of Parasha Vayetzi mean, and he went out, Yaakov, from Beersheba, and he went to Haran. There is a deliberateness in the wording. Torah might just have said, and Yaakov went to Haran. Instead, it details his departure from Beersheba and states his intention to go to Haran. There it is. Rashi comments that this is to remind us that when a righteous person departs from a place, something of the beauty, splendor, and majesty of that person that they carry departs from it too. So we are told of his departure, and we are told of his destination. Everything in between is apparently happenchance. It is even presented in that way in the English translations of the Torah. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Thus reads the King James Version. And others are just the same. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. The Jubilee Bible says, and he found a certain place and slept there all night because the sun was set. Even our own Jewish publications translation says, and he lighted upon the place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. At least the JPS, the Jewish Publication Society version, flags up for us that the place was not random. Other versions say he came to a certain place. But they all give us to believe that his teaching, his reaching of it, just happened. And he just happened to remain there because the sun had set. The holy language, Hebrew, by which Hashem created the universe and in which he conveys his message to mankind, paints a very different picture, one of deliberate events. Vayifga ba'makom, and he arrived at the place. Yifga means to reach. Merakot 26b interpreted Vayifka as an expression of prayer, as in Yirmiyahu 7:16, and do not entreat. Tivga, do not entreat, do not pray to me, do not entreat me, do not tivga me. And it says that this teaches us that Yaakov instituted the evening prayer at the Makom. And the sunset, Kivach HaShemesh, literally means as he, the sun, came. Bereshit Rabbah 6-8:10 says that the words should be understood to say that the sun set suddenly for him, not at its usual time. It came suddenly, so that he would have to stay there overnight. So what are presented as random coincidences are in fact deliberate and arranged events. What was about to happen in the place, Hamakom, which is the same place that righteous Avraham bound Yitzhak Avenu, and in which Melech Zedek performed worship to the only and true God, was to be and still is of significance. Certainly, what took place afterwards in the marriages of Leah and Rachel would have meant little without this coming to the place. Because Yaakov dreamed. We're all familiar with his dream in the place, but its multitude of lessons changed Yaakov Avenu from a son of Avraham and Yitzhak, one with a knowledge of Hashem's power and reality, into a son of God, one who lived his power and his reality out. It changed him. It equipped him to become the father of the nation of Israel. One Motzei Shabbat, a group of Hasidim sat together for Maleveh Malcha, the traditional meal eaten after Shabbat. Reb Nosson was among them, and being one of the youngest of the group, they turned to him and asked him to go out and buy some bagels for the meal. He went out with a broken heart. Here he was, an accomplished scholar, and all that he was good for was buying bagels. He just wanted to serve God, not buy bagels. Instead of heading to the bakery, he slipped into the local synagogue and began reciting Tehillim, the book of Psalms. He reached Tehillah 50, but at that point was overwhelmed by grief. He slipped down to the floor and he burst into tears. He cried out to God, Master of the world, is this what I was created for? To buy bagels? At that point, he fell asleep and dreamed. In his dream, he saw himself climbing a ladder, and when suddenly he stumbled and fell and he hurt himself. He tried to get up and climb again. This time he managed to climb higher, but again he fell down. The blow he received was harder and even more painful. Over and over again, he tried to climb up and then fell down, each blow hurting more than the last. You know what Albert Einstein said about the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Nevertheless, he persevered until he no longer had the strength to climb back on to the ladder. Suddenly in the dream, he saw a man with a beard. His face was radiant like an angel. The man said to Reb Noyslin, "Keep climbing, but hold yourself well." After hearing these words, he began to climb again. And this time, he managed to reach all the way to the top of the ladder. He awoke from the dream, but the vision was deeply engraved on his heart. Reb Noyslin explained, "Each person at some time experiences a spiritual awakening when he feels the light of God open to him. He jumps aboard this wave and then expects this feeling to continue forever." Suddenly, he is thrown down and he feels as if he never was close to God at all. Each time he lands with a greater thud and experiences more pain until he can no longer continue. Yaakov then saw a ladder that was standing on earth with its top reaching the heavens. This is a person's task in this world, to climb the ladder rung by rung. It is impossible to jump all the way to the top in one go. We are to take it step by step. And at times like this, when you are climbing the ladder of righteousness, the ladder of Torah, so to speak, you need to hold yourself well. You need to go carefully. You need to hold on to the ladder. Understand that this is a critical part of the upward spiritual journey. We must understand that this journey towards perfection, towards being the people that we were created to be, sons of God, we can strengthen ourselves during the times of descent by knowing that God is always with us. We need to keep climbing, but hold ourselves well. If we do, we will discover that even the hardest of experiences, the most devastating and agonizing, are for our good. How can that be? How could any of us stand and face those who faced the 7th of October 2023 and say to them, "What happened to you was for your good"? How could any of us face those who went through the Shoah or the Inquisition or the pogroms or who face anti-Semitism today, how can we face them and say, "What happened to you was for your good"? Returned hostage, Omer Shem Tov spoke about his 2 years in the tunnels of Hamas. He said, I was in a tiny cell 40 meters under the ground. I couldn't stand and I couldn't open my arms from side to side. It was so tight. Total darkness. You don't see anything. There are no shadows or anything. But it's actually specifically in that darkness that I found the most amount of light. Every night I had like these 5 minutes, these kind of special 5 minutes that I used to talk to God. So if I could say if there is anything in quotes that I miss from being a hostage, it's the way that I used to be able to speak to God. And to this day, that is what I miss. I miss being able to speak to God that way. And to this day, I'm trying to do it. Omer Shem Tov entered as a secular without any relationship with God. But he emerged having encountered him. The Haggadah on Pesach says, go and learn what Laban the Aramean sought to do to our father Yaakov. Pharaoh made his decree only about the males, whereas Laban sought to destroy everything. Devarim 26:5 says, my father was a wandering Aramean. It is a reference either to Yaakov, who escaped to Aram, where Laban lived, or to Abraham, who left Aram in response to God's call to travel to the land of Canaan. The Haggadah and the Seder is about how the Egyptians enslaved and practiced slow genocide against our fathers, and how God saved them from slavery and death. But the Haggadah turns the facts around and says, Laban was worse than even Pharaoh. And we ask why. Perhaps because Laban's behavior is the paradigm of anti-Semites throughout the ages. The worst type of anti-Semites. It was not so much what Laban did that the Haggadah is referring to, but what his behavior gave rise to in century after century. Laban begins by seeming like a friend. He offers Yaakov refuge from Esav, who has vowed to kill him. Yet it turns out that his behavior is self-interested and calculating. But he began as if a friend, just like our half Torah today. We are making pacts, it says, with Ashur. Well, we all know where that is today. Ashur, the land of Babylonia, Iraq and Iran, the northerner, making pacts with them, peace pacts, selling oil to Egypt, trading with them. There's nothing particularly wrong with trading or having friendly relations with other peoples, but the mistake that our fathers made in the half Torah was they were pinning their hopes on the other nations. And just recently, in the last month, that very statement was made by the head of, or one of the commanders of the IDF. Our hope, he says, is in cooperating with other nations. That's our hope. So Spain says, if Israel gets singing in Eurovision, we ain't singing. And the world laughs because Eurovision's a joke. Why are we worried about it? Why are we worried about being banned from Eurovision or UEFA or anything else? Why are we worried about it? Because we like to be friendly. These are friendly people. So we call hills in the Golan after their names. Ramat Trump. But Laban was the first, at least the most prominent friend who enslaved us. And his behavior has been the paradigm for every friend who has betrayed us in history, and we never learn. There is a friend, says the scriptures, the book of Mishlei, there is a friend who sticks closer than any brother. A friend who has the interests of the Jewish people at his very core. And we ignore him. Oh, it means we'd have to obey his commandments. It means we'd have to keep the Shabbos, give him a bit of bacon. So we ignore him. But Laban's behavior is self-interested and calculating. And in fact, I was reading just that earlier on this morning in Pirkei Avot. It says, be careful in your relationships with the rulers, because they are only your friends out of self-interest. Yaakov worked for Laban for 7 years for Rachel. It's a sweet romance. Then on the wedding night, Laban substitutes Rachel. For Rachel, he substitutes Leah. So that to marry Rachel, Yaakov must work another 7 years. Smart move. There he is, celebrating, drinking, happy. He goes into the tent, sleeps with his beloved. In the morning, he wakens up. And in the light of the morning, he sees it's not his beloved. It's a rather less beautiful sister. So Laban says, I'll give you Rachel. Finish the marriage week for this one. I'll give you the other one if you give me another 7 years of work. After Yosef was born, Yaakov tried to leave. Laban protests. Look how much I've given you. My two daughters, the two handmaids. Look how much I've done for you. You owe me. Yaakov works another 6 years and then realizes that the situation is untenable. 20 years. And he realizes it can't go on. Especially since Laban's sons and Laban himself becomes more and more hostile, accusing him of becoming rich at Laban's expense. And so the trope about the greedy Jew begins. And it has never left the lips of the Goyim. We control the banks, the media. We're very good. We're very clever people. We control the media and the media attacks us. The political world, we control it. That's why all the governments hate us. We start wars, side with the winner, cause revolutions and help to put them down. We are communists and capitalists. And we always gain from the poor, downtrodden guy. Always. Why is it that the world sides so willingly with and believes the lies of the murderous Hamas? We look at it and we say, this is insane. Why can't they see it? It's insane. Here's a list of facts. The world says, facts, schmacks, who cares? But why is the world so willing to side with the enemies of the Jewish people and the Jewish homeland? Because they have always done so. And how did Yaakov survive? How did he maintain his dignity and find the strength to escape? Remember that all of this is presented to us as though by chance. How did he escape? He did so because when he left Beersheba, it was part of a deliberate plan. When he reached Moria and Hamakom, the place, and had his encounter with the Eternal, manifesting himself in time and space, it was deliberate. All that occurred in Haran was deliberate. Part of a purpose and a plan which had been written before the world was created. Yaakov did not always know it to be so. Just as we do not always see the twists and turns of our lives to be something planned. But they are. The title Hamakom is a Hebraic title for God. Bereshit Rabbah 6-8-9 contains a quote from Rav Chuna, who says, in the name of Rabbi Ami, why do we substitute the name of the Holy Blessed One and use Hamakom? And he answers, because God is the place of the world, but the world is not the place of God. The whole creation and all that is contained in it is contained in God, as Rav Shaul told the Athenians in Acts 17:28, for in him, within him, we live and move and have being. So that our rabbis tell us that the first act of creation was a negative act in which God created space to create the universe. That's why I quite admire, even if I don't totally agree with Maimonides' theological approach, whereby he says, don't say that God is infinite. Say that God is beyond infinity. Don't say that God is good. Say that God is not evil. In other words, he says, don't define God. It's a good approach. The problem is, of course, that God allows certain aspects of his character to be defined in the Torah. In him, we live and have being, so that even when we are climbing the proverbial ladder, each step and each misstep is planned. We must fulfill our part and keep climbing, but hold ourselves well. Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik said that Yaakov was party to the covenant of fate, while Israel signifies the covenant of destiny. What he meant is that the covenant of fate is imposed on Jews by history and circumstance. It all seems out of our control, while the covenant of destiny is one that Jews are called to embrace in partnership with God, who is the one who is in control. Thus, in the hour of his betrayal, Mashiach Yeshua earnestly sought God with strong tears, as we read already in our Torah Mashiach reading. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he entered into the covenant of destiny by saying, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The fact is, our lives are not in chaos. In the chaos, our Father has a plan, and if we, like our Rebbe and Mashiach, surrender to it, if his will becomes our reality, if we make his will our will, he will make his will our will. I've misquoted. If we make our will, he will make his will our will. If his will becomes our reality, we will climb and hold ourselves well until we reach the goal. Amen. Mm-hmm.